It's 10:06. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn this week on the Ideas Network. Kathleen, we'll be back next Tuesday. Well, cell phones have caused a lot of changes in our lives. There are now more cell phones in the world than there are landlines, according to one European study. In the United States, there are approximately 190 million cell phones in use today. Some people are dropping their landlines or traditional telephone services in favor of cell phones. The shift has not been lost on telemarketing companies. In Wisconsin, the state Senate has just unanimously passed a bill that would add cell phones to the Do Not Call List program. This morning, we have a chance to talk to the author of the bill, State Senator John Erpenbach, a Democrat from Middleton, about the problem and the bill he wrote to solve it. If you have a question about the bill or about telemarketers calling your cell phone, you can join us by calling 800-486-8655 or 227-2050 if you are in Milwaukee. In particular, I'd like to hear from people who have already gotten telemarketing calls on their cell phones. I'd be real interested to hear about that. Our numbers again, 800-486-8655, 227-2050. Senator Erpenbach joins us by telephone. Good morning, Senator.
Hey,
thank
John,
you
how
for
are
joining
you?
Us. Oh, well, pretty good so far, but it's only 10 o'clock. So
okay.
Have to leave room for growth, I guess you'd have to say.
All right.
Is there a problem today with telemarketers calling cell phones in Wisconsin, or was your bill kind of a preemptive strike?
Well, there's a growing problem. It wasn't the kind of problem that we had before with landlines and telemarketers calling, but it's a growing problem. I mean, I was walking in today, and I ran into somebody who said he got his first telemarketing call on his cell phone. So it's growing. And it's growing because the cell phone companies, some of them are selling the phone numbers that they have. And the way it stands right now, John, is technically you can't place your cell phone number on the no-call list. It was just for landlines. So we needed this piece of legislation to pass, and hopefully it'll get through the Assembly and signed by the governor in order to allow people to put their cell phones on the no-call list.
I had thought that cell phone numbers were generally unpublished, although I know that some of the cell phone companies a few years ago were attempting to put together some sort of national cell phone database that mm-hmm. people could opt into if they wanted to have their cell phone number out there. But my assumption was that cell phone numbers were unpublished. The telemarketers you're saying are getting them from the cell phone companies?
Right. They are unpublished. In other words, I wouldn't be able to, you know, just call 411 and get your cell phone number. I could get your home phone if it's published, but I can't get your cell phone number. But you can buy cell phone numbers, you can buy cell phone records, you can buy anything you want to associate with a cell phone. And the cell phone companies, some are denying it, some are not talking about it, but they are selling the phone numbers that they have. They have millions of cell phone numbers, and they're selling them because they make money off the call houses.
Is this the problem of telemarketers calling cell phones? Is this caused perhaps in part at least because people are dropping their landlines, and so when they go in, and I know you have to give a phone number, for example, the utility company has to have a phone number for you, and various other business transactions you might engage in, they need to have your phone number, and so instead of giving him what would have been your old landline number, you might have to end up giving him your cell phone number, which they wouldn't otherwise have. And is there some leakage here from we have to give up our number in so many different places? It's bound to fall into the hands of people we don't want it to?
Not so much, really. Not like it was before, like because of the move on privacy issues here in the Capitol, whether it be a DOT record or a DNR record or things like that, where you have to give up, information, name, address, and stuff like that. We have opt-out provisions now with state records that your name won't be be released in that kind of a format anymore. But it's not so much like a Blockbuster or somebody like that selling your information as it is your cell phone company, because they make money off of you, they make money off of the texts that you have and the phone calls and the minutes you use up, but they also make money by selling the actual phone number. And again, we're dealing with millions of phone numbers, and there are no call lists all over the nation. There's a national no call list. There's a no call list here in Wisconsin, which is one of the tougher ones, but none of them include cell phones. Though I'm not certain about the national no call list, but I know ours doesn't. So again, telemarketers aren't violating anything by calling you on your cell phone, and the cell phone companies aren't doing anything wrong by selling your phone number. So it's kind of one of those things where the no-call list is pretty much going to be ever evolving, probably, and this is a big change that we need to make to it.
My understanding was that Federal Communications Commission rules prohibited at least one practice that the telemarketers use, and that's the use of auto dialers. And there's a federal rule against using auto dialers to numbers where the end user pays a toll.
Right.
They have to dial if they want to call a cell phone number or a number that where the user pays. They have to dial. They have to punch those numbers in one at a time, just like you or I would if we wanted to make a call.
Right, and we deal with auto dialers here as well. But you know, I think, John, the biggest difference between, if people don't think this is, you know, much of a big deal or anything like that, the biggest difference between the landline situation and the cell phone, whether you're using an auto dialer or not, is that normally with the landline, you just basically, you know, pay a flat fee. And cell phones, you're basically paying by the minute. And the cell phone companies don't round down, they round up when it comes
to
the minutes used. So, you know, you're paying for stuff that you don't want, and they you know, this is going to happen more and more and more, and they start chewing up your minutes. And there's cases too that, you know, we're taking a look at where people are getting spam texts on their cell phones. You know, like if people call, for example, and vote on something, you know, press, you know, they call on their cell phone and they, you know, call an 800 number and they vote, you know, 2 or 3 days later they might start getting advertising on their cell phones in the form of text. Because again, that's something that, you know, those on the other end gather the information, sell the information, and then the next thing you know, you're getting a text message for, you know, something on sale or something. So that,
well, there's always somebody looking to sell us something.
Well, yeah,
isn't
and with the new technology, I mean, we can be reached pretty much anywhere, obviously, it's a situation where if people do like the privacy stuff that the state has done, it's a matter of the state trying to keep up with the new technology that's out there, and this is one of those attempts.
Let's take a call. We've already got people who want to join us. Let's take a call from Chris in La Crosse. Chris,
hello.
Good morning.
I am all for whatever your guest is proposing. I thought the cell phone was the last sacred frontier of privacy for me. You know, we lost the home phone and then the fax machine. I don't remember in which order, but I've so far gotten a grand total of one a phone call on my cell phone that was a pre-recorded message. It was a call to action. It sounded suspiciously like it was coming from my credit card company when in reality it was something about refinancing, and you know, they didn't give a name or where they were, just a number, and you've got 12 hours to act and that kind of thing. And so I'm all in favor of whatever your guest is proposing. Otherwise, I'm going to have to change my number and start all over. So that was my comment.
Okay. Well, again, it's really frustrating now. Not as frustrating it was on the landlines, because, you know, everybody was inundated every night with telemarketing calls when they got home. But it is frustrating, the fact that, again, you're on a cell phone plan, and if you go over your minutes, you know, you're paying a lot more, and, you know, you have to pay for something you don't want. So, again, it's a situation where the call houses are smarter about it now using the new technology, and, you know, Chris's call is a good example as to what's going on out there.
800-486-8655 is the toll-free number that you can call to join our discussion. We won't spam you. 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, you can use our local number, 227-2050, 227-2050. We're talking with State Senator John Erpenbach, the author of a law that would add cell phones to the Do Not Call list in Wisconsin. Let's talk about the Do Not Call list. Originally, the legislation that came into effect in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was kind of a leader in the nation with this legislation. How would you rate the success of that law since it's been in place?
I think it's been really good. From what I understand, it's one of the most popular things that the state has ever done. Just the fact that there's over 1 million numbers on it tells you that it's something that people kind of really wanted. But it went off without a hitch. Obviously, from the other side of the coin, there was a lot of doom and gloom when it came to those who used the phone to sell things. But it's a situation where, you know, we don't want the call. We don't want to buy what you're selling, chances are, but we certainly don't want the call. And we didn't make it where everybody had to be on it. We made it where you could sign up if you wanted to. kind of an opt-in sort of thing. I'd like to think we were doing the telemarketers a favor by giving them a list of people who do not want to hear from them. You know, in telemarketing, you know, John, it's not an easy job. I mean, I seem to recall talking with telemarketers, and they weren't treated very kindly, but at the same time, they were doing something that, for the most part, people didn't want to hear about. So the success was very good. There were a couple of changes and a couple of vetoes made by then-Governor McCallum that I wasn't real thrilled to death about. We fixed one of those vetoes in the latest version of what we passed here in the Senate this past week. But overall, it's been really good, and it's been a very popular thing.
Now, the way this works, you have to, every 2 years, you have to submit your number again?
Right.
And that's still the case with the bill that just passed the Senate?
Yes. Yeah. And if we could do it where, you know, you could do it more so on a permanent basis, that would be wonderful. But it's impossible to do only because numbers change a lot. And cell phone numbers are changing a lot. So, you know, in order to keep up with the numbers and the changing numbers, you know, the updated version every 2 years goes out. And that's, the easiest way we could deal with it. So, and I remember, right, the federal government was taking a look at just doing a list where, you know, they don't need to worry about updating it anymore. But they realize now, too, that numbers change so much. And so, you know, an updated list, a big updated list, as opposed to the, you know, quarterly updated. But a big updated list has to go out once every 2 years.
Okay. One of the other things, this just occurred to me, some people who have dropped their landlines, a change in the law allowed them to take their old phone number with them and use it on their cell phone.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, you know, that could lead to some telemarketing calls because the number would appear not to be a cell phone number. It would
Correct.
Look like your old number, and if you didn't have your number on the list, you'd get a call on your cell
right.
phone.
Right, and some people are forwarding their phone number, their home numbers, to their cell phones, which is another thing you can do. And so technically, you know, according to the lawyers around here, technically if someone were to get a call on their cell phone through their home phone, that wouldn't necessarily be a violation of the no-call list.
Boy, you'd get hammered twice. You'd get charged for the call forwarding, and then you'd get the cell phone minutes off the telemarketing call.
Right.
That would really hurt.
And a friend of mine, you know, had a cell phone when they first came out and then got rid of his and didn't have it for a long time, but he switched his home number to his cell phone number. And so, you know, he was on the no-call list. There's huge questions as to whether or not he would be now or would not be now because it's a cell phone. And there's obviously a big difference, both legally and otherwise, between a cell phone and a landline. So, again, this is one of those things where, you know, we just need to kind of keep up with technology and what's out there and the way people are moving. We're reacting to what people are doing with their phones.
Well, it's a constant race trying to keep up with technology, and it's really hard to keep up, let alone get ahead, because every time you turn around, there's something new out there.
Right.
You mentioned earlier, you mentioned text messaging, and I know that, I have read that federal law prohibits sending text messages or spam messages to cell phones or to any device that has a toll attached to it to the end user. Are text messages covered in this new legislation in Wisconsin?
No, they're not. It's just the actual phone call itself.
Okay.
Text messages aren't. And it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I was out quite a long time ago. I was out in Redmond, Washington, talking with Microsoft people about privacy and what was going on and with the Internet and so on and so forth. And they, you know, we toured what they call the House of the Future. And it had a refrigerator in there that kept track of how much milk you had. And when you got low, you know, it stored that in its little computer. And then when you went to go grocery shopping, you'd press a button and out would pop your list of things you need for the refrigerator.
Would the refrigerator tell you when the casserole went bad?
No, not at all.
Okay. That's
I
need.
It's something where, that's pretty cool. And then they talked about cell phones and how that when you're walking down the street and you happen to be walking by a restaurant, it's quite possible with the technology that you could all of a sudden get a little text message saying, you know, come on in, hot dogs are a couple of bucks off this lunch hour or something. And that's when I went, well, okay, then I start paying for something I don't want. You know, there aren't businesses who are doing that right now, but the technology is there for something like that to happen. So it's a situation where, again, if something like that happens and government reacts, then it reacts. If it doesn't, that means people probably aren't real concerned about that. But they are very concerned about getting the telemarketing calls on their cell phones. So that's
well,
why
we're
we did
starting
what
to.
We did.
we're starting to get some calls here, and I want to get to those. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take some phone calls and questions for Senator Erpenbach. If you'd like to join us, hang on a moment. A line will be opening up shortly. You can call us at 800-486-8655, or if you're in Milwaukee, please use 227-2050. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 22 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn this week. She'll be back next Tuesday. Here's what's coming up a little bit later on today on the Ideas Network. Young officers are leaving the Army at an alarmingly high rate. Military leaders are worried about what that will mean for the country's ability to defend itself in the future. After 2 o'clock this afternoon on Talk of the Nation, a look at what's driving young officers away from the Army and what's being done to keep them. Join guest host Lynn Neary for that discussion, plus a political preview of the Oscars. That's after 2 this afternoon on Talk of the Nation. Well, telephones, specifically cell phones, and getting cell phone numbers on a Do Not Call list is the topic this hour. The bill was just passed late last week by the Wisconsin State Senate and sent on to the Assembly. That would give you the ability to add your cell phone number to Wisconsin's Do Not Call list. And we have with us by phone, is that a regular landline or a cell phone, Senator?
I'm on a landline.
Okay, all right. Senator John Erpenbach, who was the author of that bill. I said we'd take calls when we came back, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And we'll start out with Robert from Harvard, Illinois. Robert, thank you for waiting, and you're on the air.
Okay, sir. This is basically a statement. I used to work for AT&T, and I also work for Motorola. And included in the software for caller ID is a thing called a pick list that will allow only numbers that are on the user's list to go through to the phone. The problem is bill collectors lobby the cell phone companies not to include software, not to open it up. And the thing is, the software is still there. They will allow the user to choose who they will receive calls from. And, I don't know why you need a national list when each individual could actually pick that if the cell phone companies and the phone companies would allow that software to be opened up.
Well, this is the first I've heard about this technology. It would be great if I could do that. How do I go about doing it?
It's been there ever since caller ID was first initiated.
Okay, so I have software on my cell phone that would allow me to accept calls from only people I want.
No, the software is on the switching machine. I was a software switch engineer for AT&T and for Motorola.
Okay.
And the software is on the machine that receives the call.
Okay.
Because when you receive a call on your cell phone, unless they block their number, it shows up on your cell phone.
Right.
To do that, you could use the same list, like on your cell phone, you have a list of people you call.
Right.
And unless a person is on your phone could deny the connection.
Okay. So what I could do, for example, would be to call, call Nextel and say, I want the switch. Or the pick list.
No, because they blocked the software.
Okay.
And like you said, this is first you heard of it. And, you know, I can't imagine why nobody's thought of this, because I worked with a lot of people with both companies that worked on that software.
Okay.
I'm glad, Robert, you brought that up, because I do know there was a business. It's since gone out of business, but when you called the number, it was actually run out of this fellow's home, and if you called from a number that had caller ID blocked, you got a message saying that this caller has elected not to accept calls from anyone who has a caller ID blocked. And so I'm not taking your call. And that may have been why I went out of business. But the point is, that's probably an example of that kind of thing. And apparently you'd have to work with your cell phone or your provider to convince them to open up that software, as Robert suggested. In the meantime, we have a Do Not Call list, I guess. We'll have to use that for now. Let's go next to Tim in Ashland. Tim, good morning.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I have one comment and then a question. The comment is, I get text messages that are fairly unsavory. My cell phone is in the name of my business, which would be likely answered by a male. And sometimes I get weird text messages like, are you lonely? And stuff like that, push six now, or weird things like that. And this is probably the most deviant call I make with my cell phone, you know, not work-related. And so I can't imagine how my number would get on such a caller list or text message list. I would like to see text messages included.
Okay.
Very much so.
All right. Well, that's something obviously we'll go to work on. And I, the only thing I can think of, Tim, the reason why you got that text message is your number was sold.
More than likely.
Yeah, I mean that's the only way something like that could happen.
If Tim, one thing you can do, and I ran across this in my research preparing for today's program, and I once again have too many pieces of paper in front of me, you can, in fact, file a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission over that, because they have. There has been a rulemaking that says you can't send unsolicited text messages to a device that has a toll on the other end. And if you go to the Federal Communications website, FCC.gov, you might be able to find a place to inquire as to what you can do about this problem. So I think there is some possible federal help, but it requires you to do all the work. It's not as simple as just placing your number on a do not call list, which is a relatively easy thing to do.
Okay.
Tim, did you have another question, or was that just all you wanted to say?
That must have been it.
Okay.
Actually, it's flipping what it was.
Well, good luck. Thanks for calling. Let's go next to Bill in Appleton. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, Senator.
Hi.
I have a quick comment and a question. Even the term landline might not mean very much anymore with voice over internet for phone service. So, and actually, that triggers another question: Would voice over internet be considered a landline or not?
I don't know.
That wasn't my original question.
Okay.
But maybe you want to address that as well. The question I have has to do with business-to-business calls, I understand, are exempt from any of these laws. The problem is I have a cell phone number that was ported from a landline about 5 years ago, and sometime prior to that, this number had been a business number. And so now I'm receiving, well, I have actually for the last 5 years since I've had this number, I've been receiving, unsolicited business-to-business calls, hi, are you using credit card processing for your customers? Well, you know, it's not a business line.
Right.
So what is my recourse there? Everybody that calls, I ask them to put me on their do not call list, but I don't know if that even applies to businesses.
Well, let me give you what was going on with businesses and the no call list, and then I'll try and address the question specifically. Small businesses were originally on this piece of legislation. And they have a couple of associations down here, and some of them wanted to be on it, and some of them didn't. And they couldn't figure out what to do, and we had to move the bill along. So in the end, we ended up just saying to the small businesses, okay, you don't need to be on. For you specifically, if I've got this right, you picked up a new number about 5 years ago, and it was an old business number.
Correct.
And now you're getting business-to-business calls. And just so you know, John, the businesses the caller's talking about, credit card companies, very aggressive, very, very aggressive, trying to sell their stuff to the businesses. I'm not certain what you do about it, other than I know you can put it, you should be able to put it on the no-call list, and it should show up. Have you been on the state's no-call list before?
Yeah, that number is on the state and the federal do-not-call list.
And you're still getting the calls?
Oh, sure, because
it's a business.
It's a business to business call. They're trying to sell me merchant accounts. They're trying to sell me.
So I'm assuming
staplers.
Here's the deal. I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but I am assuming that this number is still showing up in either your phone company, original phone company's records, or your cell phone company records as a business line. That's all I can think of. Otherwise, I don't know why you'd be getting
that status.
What's that?
Is there a way?
I'd call your phone company. I'd call the original phone company that you know, you said it was a landline, right?
Correct.
I'd call that phone company, then I'd call your cell phone company and find out what the deal is. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I think, Bill, that's going to be your best recourse because the status of any phone line is determined by the phone company in terms of if you call and order and I have to order these lines for broadcast purposes, and so we deal with the phone company in the radio business all the time. Business lines are standard, are called B1s, and if that number had been connected to a B1 line at some point, it may still have that status, and you'd have to get the phone company to change that. And it's probably just a couple of keystrokes on a computer by somebody someplace, and that could solve your problem. Let's go next to Danielle in Green Bay.
Hello. My question is, I guess, based on no-call lists within companies. Mm-hmm. I'm a student, and I have a cell phone as my permanent line because I move around so much. And I have been getting calls from people, I'm assuming that either my credit card or utility companies have been giving the numbers to. Is it realistic to ask those companies to take you off their private no-call list, and is that helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. But what happens when when one company calls and says, take my name off, and you say, take my name off your list, they have to by law, but they can sell it to somebody else.
Okay.
I don't think your utility company would, I don't think that would be the source. What kind of calls are you getting?
Lots of calls where you pick up the phone and they start asking you how you doing, and then you know what your finances are and stuff like that.
You're kidding.
It's kind of unnerving, you know. You don't know if it's somebody in Ghana trying to get a credit card
right.
number, or you know, or if it's somebody actually trying to sell you.
What I would do is I would call your credit card companies, and I would call anybody you have a record with. I mean, this is one way to really try and clear it. There are opt-outs on the credit card companies that they have to provide now that says, don't sell my information. But you have, you know, it's in tiny print on the bill. It's really hard to find. It's a pain. So the best bet is to call them and say, look, this is what's going on, so take my name off your list just take my name off your list as far as selling the information goes, and see what they say.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay.
I have a suggestion for your next piece of legislation, Senator Erpenbach, and that is to force credit card companies to print their privacy information in fonts larger than 2-point.
We
have to get out your magnifying glass
right.
to read this stuff.
We tried to do that. We did. And, you know, I remember arguing with the credit card companies about the size of the font and so on and so forth, but there is a specific size that the font has to be in right now. We tried to make it larger, but we weren't successful.
Well, okay. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Okay.
Let's go next to Mike in Rice Lake. Mike, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I think you answered part of mine when Tim went ahead and called about the text messaging, but more so, how prevalent is the text messaging going to be with these telemarketers now? Because it seems like I get a lot more of that kind of thing starting to go on now, and that may be something that might need to be addressed in the future as far as the no-call thing, because it seems like there's a lot more of those going on out there.
Okay, what kind of text messages?
Things that go ahead and it'll leave like, for financial blah, 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 you know, and then having some number to call or whatever, and, which is kind of, like I say, which somebody else said earlier, is kind of unnerving in a way. Because they're trying to solicit you to call in, like, oh, this is an emergency. You better call
right
now. You know, that kind of thing.
Do you remember back in the day, and it doesn't happen as much anymore because people don't have as many fax machines as they used to, but the blast faxing that goes on. I mean, in our Senate office, we get faxes, a lot of junk faxes all the time about trips and mortgage rates and so on. But it's part of a blast fax. And they're doing the same thing now.
I'm old enough to remember those.
Yeah.
My fax machine was full of those, and that's kind of one of the demises of the fax machine.
Well, they're doing the same thing now with text messages. It's like a blast text, and the technology is there. If you want to obviously get word out, there's ways to do it. So I'm keeping track here. I've got the voiceover internet that we need to take a look at, and obviously we need to take a look at text messaging.
Yeah, I might want to take a look at what federal law is about text messaging, because I'm pretty sure that there's some fairly stiff penalties for unsolicited text messaging for business purposes.
Okay.
I one thing that can happen, because numbers, you talk about numbers changing so frequently. I got a new personal cell phone, mm-hmm. and a new number. And I all of a sudden I started getting these messages that were for somebody, I think a previous owner of that number, and I started getting these messages, I think from, I have a hunch it was a woman, and some previous boyfriends were texting me, and for a while it was kind of amusing, but it was all of a sudden you look, I've got a text message, I don't text anybody, that costs too much money,
right?
Plus I think my thumbs are too big, but you can run into that because the numbers change, as you mentioned, which is why you have the 2 year rollover where you have to put your number in every couple of years. So how
Know how long the cell phone companies have to keep a number out of circulation. I know that the old phone companies kept them out of circulation for quite a long time, but I don't know how long cell phone companies keep old numbers out of circulation.
Let's talk for just a little bit about the mechanics of getting your name on the Do Not Call list. How does a person go about that? What agency of state government manages this program?
Oh, it's Consumer Protection, which is housed over at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And it's actually a very simple thing to do. There's an 800 number people can call, or you can also sign up on the Internet. It's a very, very simple thing to do. And what happens every quarter, an updated list goes out to the telemarketing companies. And then every 2 years, a big, big list goes out to them again because, as I said earlier, there's such a change in phone numbers. So if you were to put your phone number on the website today, for example, it would take a while before the telemarketing calls would stop, but they would stop.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take some more phone calls. There is a line available if you call right now, 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number that you can use from just about anywhere. 227-2050 is the number to use if you're calling us from Milwaukee, 227-2050, 800-486-8655. We're talking about the Do Not Call list, and adding cell phone numbers to that list seems to be a pretty popular thing. It was a unanimous vote in the state Senate to pass this bill, and I want to talk to Senator Erpenbach about that when we come back. And you can ask your questions as well. Please join our discussion. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what's coming up next hour here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 11, Larry Mueller and his guests talk about a proposed presidential debate on science. That should be interesting. That's after 11 this morning here on the Ideas Network. This hour, it's the Do Not Call list on our minds and a new bill passed unanimously in the state Senate that would add cell phones to that list. This bill now goes on to the Assembly. 33-0 was the vote in the state Senate, and we're talking with State Senator John Erpenbach, a Democrat from Middleton who was the author of the bill. How often has it been your experience that something passes unanimously in the state Senate?
No, not a lot.
Okay.
But I can't, most of what we do pass here in the state Senate does pass over pretty overwhelmingly. It's just the high profile issues that tend to bog us down. But
sure.
I was really happy because this is one of those issues where everybody's on both sides of the aisle now get how popular the original no-call list is, and everybody in the Senate has a cell phone. And, they're starting to get these calls, too, so they obviously see the need for it. So I was really happy about it.
And I don't you may not want to try to forecast what's going to happen in the other House, but give us something to go on here. Do you think this is going to have any problems in the Assembly? It seems to me you worked this out in terms of bipartisan issues mm-hmm. already in the Senate version.
No, I don't think so, John. the real test was the Joint Committee on Finance, which is where the bill had been bogged down for a long time, and working with the two co-chairs, Senator Mark Miller and Representative Kitty Rhodes, in order to come up with a compromise that everybody could support on finance, which they did. That was the real test. So the only concern I really do have is whether or not we're going to be running out of time I know the state assembly is not in session. Our session is done middle of March. I know that they're not actually on the floor too many days until the end of session. So I've got concerns whether or not there's going to be enough time. But this is something that doesn't have really any controversy over. This is something that even if you take a look at the number of legislators who signed on to it originally, the number is big and the number is overwhelmingly bipartisan. So it's just a matter of convincing the leadership that there's time. Let's get it up and get it to the governor's desk.
Let's take a call next from Kathy in Racine. Kathy, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
My question is, I moved to Wisconsin from Illinois about a year and a half ago, and I kept my cell phone number with the Illinois area code so my daughters could call me without being a toll call from their landlines.
Mm-hmm.
Will this law cover my phone?
That's a really good question, Kathy. I don't know. I don't know. I should check. I'm not even going to venture to guess on that one, but I'm really easy to get a hold of. You can look up online my email address. Email me a place to get back to you, and we'll look it up and we'll find out. But I never did think about, and that happens a lot, obviously, in the border areas, whether you're up by Hudson or down by where you are. I'll check it out.
Thanks for the call, Kathy, and good luck. Let's go next to Eric in Eau Claire.
Hello,
Eric,
Senator.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, I'm glad to hear somebody's doing something about this, but my understanding, you know, that the consumer's paying for this call from whoever's the telemarketer is that the policy should be changed from an opt-out policy to an opt-in policy.
Yeah.
It also seems it should be responsible on the provider to make sure to disclose to the user that they are selling these numbers to the telemarketers.
Yep, I totally agree. I mean, I was shocked to find out that the cell phone numbers were being sold. I mean, I just was. I was just thinking, you know, come on, don't. But you bring up a really good point, and actually my view of the world should really, you know, be an opt-out as opposed to an opt-in when it comes to all of your records, whether it's state records or credit card records or anything like that. Because your personal information really I compare it to DNA. Everybody has DNA, but it's all different. And we all have credit records, but they're all different. And in order to maintain our privacy as best as we can and protect against identity theft, it's our responsibility to say, no, don't sell it, when it should be the other way around, that Eric points out, that if I do want it sold, you know, I should tell them, yes, go ahead and sell it. They should just assume otherwise that I don't. But that is, you know, we tried originally, the original no-call list was if you wanted telemarketing calls, you'd have to take your name off the list because you were automatically on. But that was going nowhere in a hurry. But ideally, at some point in time, this whole country is going to switch to kind of an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime.
Eric, thanks for that call. Let's go next to Ginny in Milwaukee. Ginny, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, John. Hi, Senator Erpenbach.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Well, I was happy, at least temporarily, to find a solution to unsolicited text messages. And I was disturbed because I pay for all incoming calls and messages. I called my cell phone company and asked them if I could do anything. And they said that these messages, at least that I was receiving, would be mass-generated
right.
emails. So they directed me and walked me through it online to go to my cell phone screen, and there was a place to check that I didn't want to receive it. Now, it was kind of like double talk, you know, like you check off that you don't want what they say they're going to do. So, you know,
yeah,
so that was
it's kind of like reading a referendum question,
isn't it? I don't know how to attempt that on my own. But they helped me, and so far, that's been about 3-4 weeks ago, I haven't received another text message.
Okay.
So that's all I want to contribute.
All right, well, I appreciate it. I didn't know that. So yeah. Call cell phone companies, and they'll walk you through it on the website and how to deal with it.
Mine was T-Mobile, so I don't know if others, all of them can do it, but it was an on-screen check that I simply had to put into place, and
okay.
So far it's worked.
Well, great.
Verizon Wireless won a permanent injunction against a Rhode Island resident who was sending unsolicited text messages touting real estate deals to Verizon customers. So some companies are taking action to protect their subscribers from unwanted text messages. There's also a website you can look at that would have more information on the federal, if you're interested in the federal Do Not Call list, www.donotcall.gov. So there's another resource for you to use. Let's go next to Mary in Green Bay. Mary, good morning.
Good morning. I have a sort of a mixture, I think. I've got my phone service through Time Warner Cable, so it's over, it's a digital phone. Does that mean that it's treated as a landline, or is that a voice over internet protocol that isn't considered yet?
So in other words, you get your phone through Time Warner.
Right.
Okay. You plug in your phone into the wall.
Yes.
I would tend to think it would still be a landline, but I'm not certain. What you can do, I mean, is a number on the no-call list right now?
Yes.
Okay, have you received any telemarketing calls or anything lately?
Initially, I had been getting some calls to businesses, and when I answered that it was a residence, they said, okay, we'll take you off our list.
Okay.
So,
and those calls stopped?
Yes.
Yeah, I would. What I would do is, first of all, I'd check with Time Warner, but I would also go, it does sound like the no-call list has accepted your phone number, even though it sounds like you may be getting it. I don't know. It doesn't sound like you're getting it over the internet, but I don't know. But I would definitely check with Time Warner on it.
Because it comes in through the cable modem.
But you still get dial tone, though.
Yes.
Okay. I guess, Senator, shouldn't dial tone be dial tone? I mean, if you have the number is the thing, and whether you get your phone service in your home from Time Warner or Charter or
right.
Or Century Telephone or one of the other telephone
right.
companies that operate in the state of Wisconsin, you pick up the phone and there's dial tone there, you ought to be able to put your number on the list.
I think so, but you know what, John? I should have paid more attention in AV class. I don't know if this would be voiceover or not. It sounds like it could be, but I don't know. But it's a situation where if she's not getting any telemarketing calls, you know, like the traditional kind of telemarketing calls, it sounds like her number is still on the no-call list, which is good. So
no news is good news in
that
case.
Well, that's the way I'd look at it. But again, it's a situation where you could check. Go ahead and check with your check with Time Warner and see what they have to say about it.
I did get a lot of political calls
right.
this season.
They're not
is
on
that
the
a
list.
Different category?
They're not on the list. There's a couple of things when it comes to politicians and political calls. There are two types of calls. There's the polling call and the get-out-to-vote kind of call, and then there's like the John Erpenbach for Senate calling and raising money phone call.
Mm-hmm.
The financial solicitation for politicians was originally part of the no-call list, the piece of legislation that passed in the budget way back when did include political solicitations, but that was vetoed out. That little portion was vetoed out by Governor McCallum. We did originally include the get-out-the-vote calls and the polling calls and the push-polling calls and stuff like that. What we ran into were constitutional issues of freedom of speech stuff, according to the state's lawyers, and that if we did include it, they said it could be constitutional, it might not be constitutional, but what would have happened is those who do like telemarketing would have taken us to court and we would have lost and the entire no-call list would have gone down the tubes. So we took the political calls that dealt with polling and get out the vote out of the no-call list. We included the political solicitations, but that was vetoed by Governor McCallum.
Mary, thanks for the call and good luck with checking into your situation there. Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Stella, you're up next.
Okay, thank you. The Do Not Call list has been an absolute boon. I deeply appreciate it, and it's a wonderful law. And you partly answered my question. My question to you was, how soon are we going to have political calls and not-for-profit calls removed?
Right.
Placed on the Do Not Call list.
Well, again, going back over the history of this, Stella, it's really kind of interesting. We did originally include not-for-profits, and then they just started lining up at my doors. Because for some not-for-profits, this is their lifeline to sort of keep going. So we narrowed the scope of nonprofits down quite a bit to try and limit them as much as we possibly can to what I guess you would consider to be extremely legitimate nonprofits. The political calls on the other hand were going to probably kill the bill, because I wanted to include them, and the state's lawyers again were saying no, this is probably going to be a freedom of speech issue. It's just like somebody going knocking on your door, you know, handing you a brochure or saying please get out and vote. There's not much we can do about that.
Okay.
So that's why the political, the non-financial political solicitations, but the solicitations for your opinion or vote, that's why they were included in the no-call list as far as being legal to do.
What about attempting to put the financial solicitations, political solicitations through and see if we can get Governor Doyle to not veto it?
Well, I tell you what, we drafted the piece of legislation up, I believe, and tried to get it through. We couldn't even get it through the legislature. But it's something we certainly could revisit, obviously. And I know a lot of candidates and a lot of elected officials already, I mean, pretty much abide by the no-call list. You know, even though they don't have to, most of them do. But what I'll do, Stella, is we'll probably draft up the legislation next session and see if it can go anywhere.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Stella, thanks so much for the call. Kristen in Sun Prairie is next.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. It's actually Tristan.
My
question to you, Senator, is during the course of your research, have you found certain cell phone providers to be more apt to sell cell phone numbers than other providers?
No. There isn't one that's more consistently sells numbers over another, or some that do and some that don't. They're all pretty evasive when you talk about it. When you talk to them about it. There's really only one way to get a phone number and get a telemarketing call on your phone, and that's to buy the number. And there's only one way to buy the number, and that's for the original company to sell it. Now, the numbers get sold over and over again, but it has to start somewhere. And the only entity that has your cell phone number to begin with is your cell phone company and you.
You should be someplace in your agreement with your cell phone provider. There should be a privacy policy notice,
right.
And that should include language that tells whether or not they will give your phone number or sell it to a third party. You might want to start by taking a look at that to see if your company is one that does sell its numbers.
They do that, but also many companies do provide, you know, kind of an opt-out sort of a thing that we've talked about before, where you can opt out having your number sold. But a lot of us don't know that. I mean, we just don't know that it's out there, that it exists, because it is buried in the documentation that you get. But this is one of those situations, again, where since most people don't know about it, and, you know, you're hearing more and more telemarketing calls being made on cell phones, and people are paying for it, they get very upset. So something like an expanded no-call list becomes very, very popular to them.
Thanks for the call, Tristan. And we'll go to Boyd in Milwaukee next.
Hi,
Boyd, good morning,
John, and good morning, Senator. I know there's not much time, so I'll get right to the point. This is in response to the woman, Mary, that called from Green Bay. Well, I actually sell phones. I'm a subcontractor through Time Warner, and I know when people have wanted to get the phone line, there's a survey that I'll have them respond to what calls they want blocked, and one of those is third-party calls. And that's not only telemarketers, but if they even want to go as far as to have, like, firemen's groups asking for money or political groups, they can do that.
Really?
It sounds like she got hers, though, right from Time Warner. I would say call Time Warner and make those arrangements, not only with them, but people who maybe get their cell phones. I don't think they get them directly from Time Warner, but I think there's a company that works with Time Warner where now they can get cell phones. And I also know AT&T. They're in the cell phone business. They probably, I would think, would have a similar setup. But I would say, yeah, investigate those.
Well, that would be good.
Yeah, it would be.
Well, Boyd, thanks for that heads up. That's great. And we're going to run out of time here shortly. I don't want to risk taking another call and having to cut somebody off. So, Senator, I'm going to give you the last word here today and just kind of have you go through what's now, the Senate has passed has passed this bill unanimously, and it's been sent on over to the Assembly. And what do they have to do with it?
Well, there's a question as to whether or not the assembly has to or does not have to hold a hearing on it, because we've had, you know, went through the Joint Finance Committee, and which is a joint committee of the Senate and the assembly. So we're checking that out. If they don't have to hold a hearing on it, my job is to get the Speaker of the assembly and the Majority Leader of the assembly to schedule it as soon as they can. If it has to have a hearing, then I work with the committee chair and, you know, see if we can get it up for hearing and keep the process rolling. The governor has indicated before at a press conference, I mean, he's very supportive of this idea. I would love to see it signed into law. So it sounds like it's just, again, we're kind of up against the clock here, and hopefully the assembly leadership is going to take a look at the non-controversial bills in the Senate and try and get them through as quickly as they can.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today.
All right, John.
Senator John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton and author of a bill that would take your cell phone number and put it on the Do Not Call list. This program was produced by Karen Prager with on-air production by John Treader and Bill Estes. And if you'd like a copy of it, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program 221E, as in Erpenbach. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.